with the Gemara on top of Laman Aleph and Aleph, second line, Tanur Rabbanan. Suga Gzula of a Masachi, which is a Rabbin, Rabbi Eliezer, Posa of a Chabim Machshir. A stolen Sukkah, which Rashi is going to explain very soon what it means, and the Gemara gets into it in a minute as well, is when you kick a person off of this, out of the Sukkah that he built on his own land. Meaning Reuven built the Sukkah on his own land, Shimon goes into Reuven's land, kicks him out of the Sukkah, and lives in it. That's called a Sukkah Gzula. Again, it may not be a Lachik Sukkah Gzula, but that's what we're calling for our context a Sukkah Gzula. And one is Masachi, which is Rabbin, one who puts his own material and builds a Sukkah in the middle of a public domain. Rabbi Lezer says it's possible. It's not considered a kosher Sukkah. And the Chavim are Machshir, and they say those are kosher. And we'll see the reasons why in a minute from now. Amar of Nachman, Machlokas B'shtokev is Chaviru, V'yotziu Misukas. So the Machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chavim, where they argue about whether or not you can use a Sukkah Gzula. That's Davka, when you were Tokev as Chaviru. You strong-armed your friend, you attacked your friend. And he kicked him out of his sukkah, as Rashi points out, that was on his own property. Rabbi Lezer l'tameh, Rabbi Lezer goes according to his logic. The Amar, Rabbi Lezer holds, ein adam yotze yidei chovasa b'sukkah shel chaverum. You're not allowed to use your friend's sukkah to fulfill your obligation. Rabbi Lezer, we said earlier on, based on the word lecha, means it has to be your own sukkah, you can't use your friend's sukkah. And therefore, we're the following dilemma. E karka nigzelis, if we consider that you're able to steal karka, and therefore, this will be now a stolen sukkah. So Sukkah Gzula here. We learned in the Dav Tes and Aleph, when we were comparing it to Sittis, that Sukkah Gzula, you can have a stolen Sukkah. And therefore this would now be classified as a stolen Sukkah. It wouldn't be allowed. Vinami Karka ain't exiles. And if you want to say that Karka is not really stolen, and by the way, Rashi pointed out over here that the Gemara in Baba Kama tells that Rabbi Lezer happens to hold that Karka can be stolen, but in case one would say Karka could not be stolen, Rabbi Lezer would still say it doesn't work. Because then it's Sukkah Shulihi. This would be a borrowed Sukkah. And Rabbi Lezer's Shita, we saw in the second parak, is that you must own your Sukkah. You can't even go to a different Sukkah that you own in Sukkahs. You have to stay in your Sukkah for all of the 7 days of Sukkahs. So therefore, however you look at it, whether Karka Nigzelis or Karka is not Nigzelis, to kick your friend out of Sukkah he built on his own property, Rabbi Lezer would say that's not kosher. And the Chum would argue, the Rabban would argue, for Rabban and Latamayim, the Rabban would say it's kosher, because they go according to their logic. Damri, Adam Yotei Yechavasa B'Sukkah Shachavirim. A person can be in his friend's sukkah. You're allowed to live in your sleep. You're allowed to eat and sleep in your friend's sukkah. You don't have to have your own sukkah. And Karka Nigzelis. And since land can't be stolen, the Sukkah Shulahi, then this sukkah would be called Sukkah Shulah. Again, it's not your sukkah. It's your friend's sukkah. But you can't steal his land. And therefore, you would have no problems at all. Rashi points out over here, there is a case where you could have a Sukkah Gzula that would not be allowed according to the Rabbanan. That case would be if I could steal a sukkah. How do I do that? Sukkah's on a gala, or it's on a sfina. It's on something that moves around. Since if it's not karka, I could steal the sukkah. If I would do that, that would be considered karka nigzelis. Not karka. That would be considered a sukkah nigzelis, a sukkah guzzle, sukkah gzula. And we mentioned already, again, I mentioned beforehand, the tesam aleph, the chav zayin, amud beis, that you cannot use a stolen sukkah. So the Rabbanan would allow certain cases to become not allowed to be possible, like Rabbi Eliezer says. But the case we're mentioning right now, when it's on a person's land and you kick him out of his own land and his own sukkah, in that case, the Rabbanan would say it's kosher, and Rabbi Eliezer would say it's possible. Rabbanan says it's possible because you can't beat your friend's sukkah. And if karka is nixelus, then it's a sukkah gzula, it's a problem. And karka is ain't nixelus, then it's sukkah sheula, which according to Rabbi Eliezer is a problem. And the Chachamim say karka ain't nixelus, you can't steal land. And therefore, you're in your friend's sukkah. It's like his sukkah still. And the Rabbanan holds, you're allowed to be in a sukkah sheula, and therefore it's no problem. However, aval, gezel eitz in v'sichik pen. Let's say that you steal a person's raw materials, his wood, and you build a sukkah out of stolen wood. Then everyone agrees. Divrei Hakol ein lo ela d'mei eitzim. The original owner, everyone agrees, only has the right to the money that the wood is worth. Meaning, at this point in time, Chazal will eat through mechanism probably of hefker based in hefker. They're going to allow the person who stole the wood to be like the quote-unquote new owner of the wood. And it's like he owes his friend that he stole from the payment for it. It's like, imagine you went to a store and you paid out a credit card and you haven't paid it out of the credit card yet. It's already yours once you take it out. You owe the guy money, but it's already yours. Over here as well. And we'll see the reason tomorrow. We'll say very soon what the reason is behind this. But if you steal the person's wood and use it to build a sukkah, then we would say that everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Lezer would agree that such a case is kosher. Mimai, from what? Meaning, from where are we assuming? Why are we assuming that they only argue about a case when you kick your friend out of his own sukkah, out of his own land, and they agree in the case when you take his schach and you build off it? Why do we assume that our Gemara, the discussion of the Machlokas, is kicking him out of his own land? So the Gemara, Midiktani,
From the fact that it was taught similar to, meaning it was taught in the same statement as Suk Gzula and as Mesachim Rishus Rabbim. Marishus Rabbim Karka et Lavdi Dehu. Sukanami Lav Karki Dehu. Just like the case of Rishus Rabbim, it's obviously not your land that you're staying on. Similarly, by the case of Sukkah, we call it Suk Gzula, the case is where it's not your land. It doesn't mean you can't see. That's the point, is it isn't discussing whether it's stolen, whether you can steal land or not. The point is that you're living on someone else's land, like which is a rabbi on someone else's land. So too over here, in the case we're talking about, it's not when you stole someone's wood and you put it on your own property. It's when you lived in someone else's land, like which is a rabbi, which is also not your land. The Gemara continues, "He savta the asayil kameder of Nachman." There was an older lady who came from Rav Nachman. Amra leish says Rav Nachman, Reish Galusa, v'chulhu rabbanon, debay Reish Galusa, pesuk gzula havu yasi. She made a claim that the Reish Galusa and all the rabbis that were visiting Reish Galusa, they were all dwelling in a sukkah gzula. They're living in a sukkah gzula. So the Gemara, yasvi, tzavcha, sorry, pesuk gzula havu yasvi. Savcha lo eshkagba. So again, Yasi had been sitting. She was screaming. Savcha. She was screaming, and no one paid her any attention. Lo eshkagba. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman paid her no attention. Amrle. She says, Rav Nachman, is this the havle avuha tlas meva samni sari avdi? A woman is this as an isha, a woman that has lavuha to her father tlas meva samni sari avdi 300 tlas shalosh 300 is samni sari shemunasrei 318 servants savcha kamaychu. She's screaming in front of you, don't pay her any attention at all. Rashi explains over here, 318 is referring to Eliezer, Eved Avram. We say Eliezer, the Chumash says, the Torah says that Avram had 318 servants. Some say it really referred to only Eliezer, his Gemachi was 318. But either way, he was a Chashuk person. So someone who has such yichah, such great lineage, screaming and you don't pay her any attention. So Amar Lahu, so Rav Nachman said to the rabbis around him, Amar Rav Nachman, Pa'isa Hidah. Paisa Hida means she's a screamer. Paisa is a screamer. She, this one's a screamer. All she gets are Dmei Eitzim Bavad. Again, the reason behind this idea of why is you steal someone's wood and you build it with it, why is that only Dmei Eitzim Bavad? So it's called either Takanas Meirish or Takanas Shavim. But the concept is that since it took a lot of effort and a lot of time for you to build a sukkah, and if the only way for you to get tshuva is if you return it after, you take a piece of wood out and you return it afterwards, so no one's going to do that. No one's going to return it. They're just going to say, forget about it. I'll just keep the sin. And therefore, to kind of shove him in order to help people do tshuva better, we say, you know what? You can keep the wood piece. Just pay the guy money back. That's much easier for someone to accept. Again, you still are a criminal. You still have the gzela. But at least you can do the mitzvah, the ase. Hey, she was a gzela shir gazel. You can now return the money and not return the whole entire building. If you return the money, it's much more likely that you're going to do that in the end. And therefore, you can do real tshuva. Just to back what we said before within Rashi, that's why if you steal a person's wagon, or you steal a person's camel with a horse with like a sukkah attached to it. There we dafka don't say it's considered a takana shavim. If you look over here in Rashi, even though we passed the part already, the Rashi abal gezel eitzim mesichi behen. But six lines in the end of that Rashi. She'in michel beres l'karka ve'ein alav l'hachzir davim ela kamoshi benuya. Here's the reason why. De'ein kan mishum takanas hashavim. There's no takanas hashavim in this case. Why not? In the case of stealing, again, a wagon with sukkah on it or a camel with sukkah on it. Shrei lo tarach alav levnosa. Number one, you didn't put any effort in to build it. And therefore, it's not as if you like, put so much hard work that you have to now destroy. V'hotzi le'in sios. And you didn't put any expenses into it either. Meaning you found it already made. You took the thing. It's a movable object, the wagon or the animal. And therefore, it's real sukkah gzula, and then you must return it. But other than that case, if you build it, etc., then we assume based on the takana we want you to do tshuva, we're not going to make you break it down and give it away because it's too unlikely it's going to happen, and you'll never do tshuva then. I'm Ravina. Hai kshura dimta alasa digzula. Of the Rabbana Takanta Mishum Takanas Meirish. A Kshura, which is like a beam, Dimtahalasa of Schach, the Gzula that was stolen. So the Rabbana made a Takana, of the Rabbana Takanta, and they made a Takana Mishum Takanas Meirish. Again, Takanas Meirish, Takanas Shavim, the same idea that we do not make you break down the Sukkah, and we let you just pay the money for it. Rashi points out over here,
We don't say, listen, it's not a big deal. It's not a big loss. You should destroy the sukkah and give it back. We don't say that. Why? The mitzvah must relate called Shiva Kibinyan Keva. Because the fact that you're doing a mitzvah with, in this sukkah right now, we treat it like it's a real binyan keva, even though normally it refers to a big structure that we say this rule for. For a big structure, we say you don't have to break it down. For a little sukkah, what's the big deal? But no, we say you shouldn't break it down either. Because while it's in the mitzvah status in those 7 days, it's got the concept of being like a kavua thing, like a strongly built thing. We don't make you build your strongly built things down. So Gemara Peshitta, of course, why would it be different between wood pieces or a beam? Wood, beams, what's the difference? We had before Gezel Eitzim. Here's Gezel Kshura, it's a beam. What's the difference between wood and the smaller piece of wood and bigger piece of wood? Maishnami Eitzim. Why would it be different than Eitzim? Maudetim, what you said, Eitzim Shchichi, Aval Hailo Shchicha. Since wood is very easy to find, and if ever you pay the guy money, you can easily track down more wood and buy it. But this beam is not as common, it's not so easily to find. And therefore, maybe we'd say you can't just simply sell it, give them the cash, because it's hard for them to track down a piece of wood like that again, a big beam. You could say that. Maybe we'd say, we're not going to apply the Takanas Meirish, Kamash Malan, that we do apply the Takanas Meirish, and we're allowed to give them only money in that case. In both the wood case, which is more common, and even the Kshura case, the beam case, which is less common to find, both of them you can use Takanas Meirish and just give them back cash. And the Gemara then qualifies this statement. Hani Mile Begav Shiva. This is all referring to while you're within still the 7 days of Sukkot. Then you can keep your Sukkot intact and just pay him back. Aval Lavasar Shiva. But if the 7 days of Sukkot is already over and now he comes to court and claims you stole his beam or his wood for that matter, Hadar Be'ene. You have to return it, Hadar to bring it, Be'ene, return it, Be'ene, meaning back to his eyes, meaning back to himself. You have to give back the original item. It was after Sukkot already. Again, the whole point was it wasn't an intense structure where it was so, deeply and complex building. It was just schach. So take your schach off when Sukkot is over, and you give it to him if that's when he comes and claims that you stole his land. However, says the Gemara, v'ichavru betina, but if he put it together with like plaster, cement, if he really made a strong structure out of it, then even afil lachar shiva, even after Sukkot is already over, nami yoiv ledameh, you also can only give him money then. You don't have to, you're allowed to give him only money, you don't have to break the building down. So again, the rules as follows. If it's a very complex building, and by taking off some wood or some bricks, whatever it would be, it would mean the whole thing would be destroyed, the whole structure, so we don't make you do that. Takanas shavim, just give him money. If it's on Sukkot's time, and it wasn't a big structure, but it was during the 7 days of Sukkot, also we say, since the mitzvah of Sukkot is being done right now, it's like it's kavu, it's like it's strong, therefore you only give him money. But if it's after Sukkot, and that's when he comes and claims his beam back, or his wood back, you should give him back the beam, give him back the wood. Unless, of course, you made it really strongly put together, you put tina, you had plaster, cement, attaching it together, then we would say in that case that you can still give him money, you don't have to return the actual item. Tana, it was taught, now back to the Sukkot we had earlier on, Yavesh Puzzle, a lulav Yavesh. We taught his puzzle, Rabbi Yehuda Machsher. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lulav Yavesh is actually kosher. Amar Rava, Rava states, Machlokas Belulav. Sorry, I shouldn't say Lulav, it's too quick to say. Yavesh puzzle, Rabbi Yehuda Machsher. We don't know what to get with species is yet, but if something is dried out, it's puzzle, Tanakhama says, the Rabbanan says, Yehuda says it's still kosher. Amar Rava, Rava says, what's discussing? Machlokas Belulav. The Rabbanan, Savri Makshin, Lulav Esrog. The Rabbanan hold, we make a hekesh, we make a connection between the Lulav and the Esrog. My Esrog by Hadar. Like an Esrog requires Hadar, as the Pasuk says, pre-eats Hadar by the Esrog. And there's a Kesher, there's a Hekesh between the Lulav and the Esrog. So Af Lulav by Hadar. So to Lulav will require Esrog, will require Hadar, I'm sorry, because of Hekesh. It's pre-eats Hadar, and then there's Kapos to Marim. So immediately following the idea of Hadar, of the pre-eats of the Esrog, it says the Lulav also has to be Hadar. And therefore, there's a Hekesh brought up between the Lulav, between the Esrog to the Lulav. That's what the Rabbanim will say. And therefore, just like an Esrog has to be Hadar, so to a Lulav must be Hadar. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Lo Makshin Lulav Esrog. Rabbi Yehuda holds, we do not make such a Hekesh between the Lulav and the Esrog. And therefore, the Esrog, Aval Esrog, Devei Kol Hadar Be'inan. But everyone would agree an Esrog must be Hadar. Rabbi Eliezer would agree an Esrog must be Hadar. Rabbi Eliezer says that there is no Hekesh between the Esrog and the Lulav, and therefore the Lulav does not have to be Hadar. The Rabbanim say there is a Hekesh between the Lulav and the Esrog, and therefore both of them must be Hadar. Regarding of making hekeshes or not making hekeshes, it's an interesting machlokas Rashi is also over here. Rashi seems to suggest that you can't make a hekesh on your own. You can only make a kavachom on your own. Nothing else can be done on your own. It almost be a mesorah. The Tosos argues and says only gzeirah shava can be on your own. Usually we follow that idea. The Tosos says that only gzeirah shava can be on your own.
Okay. Vaiter in the Gemara. Lulav lo ba, Rabbi Yehuda hadar. Rabbi Yehuda does not say lulav has to be hadar. Really? That's not what we're in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda omer, yagdenu milmala. The Mishnah we had, the first Mishnah in the Perek, that if it's nifer to a love, if the leaves are spread out, you should tie it on the top, yagdenu milmala. So my time, what's the reason why? La mishum de ba, hadar. Isn't it because it requires to be a nice looking lulav? It's got to be pretty and put together, and the leaves should go up with the spine. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who says he has to tie it, must be, he does require hadar. He says, lo, that's not the reason why he says it. Kidiktani time, or the reason, as is taught, Yehuda Omer, Mishum Ritarfon, Kapos Tzimarim. Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Tarfon and says, the Pasuk says, Kapos Tzimarim. What does that mean? It means Kapos. It means it has to be Kapos. And if it would end up separating, then you have to put it together. Kapos means bound together. It's gotta be bound together. If it starts to separate, then you must bind it together to make it still stay together. It's not a din of Hadar, it's a din of Gzeres HaKasuf. The Torah says, Kapos Marim, that if it starts to separate, you should bind it up. It's got to be up in one, along with the spine. Marcel Murray rejected the idea of Rabbi Yehuda says of tying it on top, that would be a source that he requires Hadar for Lulav. Rabbi Yehuda would still always say, does not require Hadar for Lulav. Says Gemara of Loi Boy Hadar. Rabbi Yehuda does not require Hadar for Lulav. Ivat, not within the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says you must tie the when you tie the esra, the lulav, you must do so with its own min, with the species that it comes from. We assume the Gemara says right now, my time allow me to buy other. What is it not because it must be nice looking? And if you put another min there, it looks unattractive. It stands out. It clashes. That's why it has to be the same min. Gemara says, lo, that's not the reason why. The Amar Rava, afilu b'sivu afilu b'ikra. Rava said, even if it's a sieve, even ikra d'dikla, these are different types of like a part of the weeds or the vines from the tree or a piece of the bark of the tree, meaning it's not pretty things, but it's the same species of the palm tree. But even if it wasn't the actual nicer part, so then what's the veil of my time with the Rebbe? Why does Rebbe then say that you're allowed hasam? What's Rebbe's logic over there where he says you have to use the same min, even if it's an ugly part of that min, part of that species, in order to use it as one of the eggeds, the ties for this the dal minim. So the kasavar, because Rabbi Yehuda holds a lulav sarach egged. A lulav requires a binding. And if you bring another species, another part, then it becomes a fifth min. Meaning if an egged is part of the lulav bundle requirement, and if I use hadas and maravos, lulav and esrog, and then part of my required egged that I have, I'd use a rose branch and I tie it together, then that's part of my lulav, which means I now added a fifth min to my lulav. That would be a problem. If lulav ain't sarach egged, it wouldn't be a problem because it's just an extra piece. It's not really required for the lulav and esrog set. But as part of the lulav esrog set and I use a fifth min, then that becomes part of the essential lulav and esrog set. And it's not part of lulav or esrog or adas and ravos. And therefore, it would be a problem of Baal Tosif. That's why it must be one of the dal minim, not for other reasons. So now the Gemara over here has suggested originally Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't need hadar for a lulav. We then asked a few questions that seem to say that he does need hadar, and each time we answered it, he does not need hadar for a lulav. But now we're going to go back to the Divrei HaKol. We said according to Rava, everyone agrees that esrog has to be hadar. So the Gemara, esrog mi bar Rabbi Yehuda hadar? Is Rabbi Yehuda really saying esrog must be hadar for lulav? I agree with you. There's no hadar according to Rabbi Yehuda, but for an esrog there is hadar. What do you mean? V'atayim l'nei b'risa. Our boss minish of lulav k'shem she'ein pochsman kachim osifin olayin. The four minim of the lulav, just like you can't have less than those four minim to be yotzei mitzvah, you similarly cannot have more than those four minim. You can't have a fifth min and be yotzei lulav with that, or at least maybe an iser if you do that. Lo matza esrog, if you don't find an esrog, for example, lo yavi lo parish lo rimon lo davar acher. If you don't find an esrog, you shouldn't bring a quince, you shouldn't bring a pomegranate, you shouldn't bring anything. I mean, you can't bring a substitute fruit. If you don't have an esrog, you don't have an esrog, but you should not bring something else. But that's not the part we want to focus on yet. Here's the part we want to focus on. Kimushin ksherin, if it's withered, meaning it's still got some moisture, but it's really pretty dried out, but it's we call it withered, it's kosher. Yaveshin psulin, but if it's yavesh, if it's mam is dried out, it's pasul. And Yehuda omer af yaveshin. Yehuda says no. Even dried out is okay. Now, one second. Dried out. Right now, we assume it's talking about an esrog. A dried out esrog, a yavish esrog, not withered, but completely dried out. That's not hadar. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's kosher. Must be Rabbi Yehuda does not require a hadar esrog in order to be kosher. So it's Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. The Brisa goes on. Rabbi Yehuda states, Maisa, daf laman alf mabez, bivnei krachin, shayu morishin es levein, livnei benayan. There's a story goes that people, bivnei krachin, these villagers, these big city members,
According to Rashi, they did not live near any sort of bodies of water, and therefore they didn't have many palm trees available to love them available every single year. So they're Mauritius, Levan, Levan, Menem. They would hand down, they would pass down their lulav generation on generation to their grandchildren. They would pass them down to the next generation, which means these lulav are very, very old. And that sounds like over here they were using older lulavs. So it sounds like, again, once again, that there is an idea that one's allowed to use a yavish thing, according to Rabbi Huda. It's all Rabbi Huda's opinion. And therefore, we see Rabbi Huda, who said before, and the evasion is allowed. He quoted the story of the lulav over here. Sounds like he would say that an esrog and lulav both can be dried, which means harder is not required, according to Rabbi Huda. So Amrulo, they say back, the Chum said back to Rabbi Huda, Misham Raya, that's your proof. Ein Shatzachak Raya. You can't prove from Shatzachak. It was a situation of great stress. They didn't have what to offer their kids. They gave it to them. There's actually a big discussion among the commentaries. Did they make brachas on these dried out lulavim or esrogim? They make brachas. According to Tosfos, he assumes they did make a bracha on it. But others argue, the Rush argues, there was no bracha made in these things. It's really apostle lulav, apostle esrog. But they still would use them just so that they would not forget. We'll say later on, they should not forget what it meant to have lulav or an esrog, but they would not make a bracha because it is apostle. That's a machlokas. Tosfos again says they would make a bracha on this. And the Rush says they would not make a bracha on this. We pass, and there is no bracha on a dried out, non-hadar item like that. We pass on the Rabbanan, who says it's puzzle. Katani Mias, however, it was taught, and it's back to our point we raised before with the Rabbi Huda not requiring a hadar esrog. However, Rabbi Huda Omer, it taught Rabbi Huda says, Afyavation Ksherin, the dry ones are kosher. My lava esrog, what? Is it not talking about an esrog? A dry esrog is kosher, showing us you don't need to have hadar for an esrog? Is that what it seems to be saying? It says, lo, a lulav. No, it wasn't. That's not talking about a lulav. We knew Rabbi Huda doesn't hold the lulav has to be hadar. Rabbi Huda holds it can be yavesh, and there's no problem. It doesn't require hadar. And when we say the Tosfos over here, and the Gemara said, and the Aleph and Aleph, you know, the whole thing about not finding an esrog, not about a quince and a pomegranate, that was about an esrog. But when it said, kamushin, ksherin, yavashin, psulin, it moved over back again to the case of a lulav. It was not talking about the esrog. But really, Rabbi Huda would require, we think at least for now, an esrog to be hadar. The Gemara has the final part over here. We'll stop after this. Amar Mar, we'll go back to the statement we said earlier. Master stated, Kashem Shein Pochsimehen Kachem Osifin Olehen. Just like you can't have less than 4 minim, you can't have more than 4 minim. Gemara says, Pshita, of course you can't. What's the Chiddush? So Mao, what would you thought to say? Hov Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lulav Tzarech Eged. Since Rabbi Yehuda holds, Lulav requires an Eged. If you might see Min Achrina, and if you bring another Min, Hailachudekai, that each one is independent from the other one. According to Rashi, the case over here is Lulav Tzarech Eged. But you put the fifth min outside the eged. And therefore, there's a half min. It's a thing to assume that I have my three minim bundled together, my esrog separate from it. And then I have a fifth min that's outside of the bundle. And therefore, you might think to say that Rabbi Yehuda, who says Lulav Tzarech Eged, and if you bring one of the a new min outside the eged, then a Hailachudekai, this one is separate, and this one is separate, meaning it's not considered one big five minim, it's considered 4 minim. And an extra min that's on the outside. And therefore, it shouldn't be a problem with Baal Tosif. Should be okay. So, Kamash Malam, we don't say that. And even Rabbi Huda, who holds Lulav Tzarech Eged. And even if you put something outside that Eged, even though if you didn't have an Eged, you wouldn't be Yotze. You might think to say, if you have something outside the Eged, then it's not considered Baal Tosif. Comes to teach you that Rabbi Huda would hold, even something outside the Eged, would be considered a problem of Baal Tosif. We'll stop over here.